Hello and welcome back to your new favorite podcast, MMR Talks. I am, of course, your host, Antonio Acquawelli, and I'm joined today again by the great, great man, fantastic guy, Mr. Shlomo Bush. Shlomo, how you doing today?
Oh man, life is good. I'm doing great, and I'm excited, man. New year, new vibes, new season, all good things.
Happy February, everybody, even though we're in the second week of February. In the future. We're currently in the past. And we got quite the panel today. Gents, why don't you introduce yourselves?
You got Jake Liberty here, a.k.a. Mr. Dr. J. Might have heard this familiar voice, a little bit of a lisp, a little bit of sensuality on Monday morning, starting your week off right with the Mass Music Morning Show. Happy to be here. First MMR talk show. Looking forward to it. Very excited. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. And who's this gentleman who I've never seen before?
This dashing young lad.
How can I follow that up? Jake Liberty, ladies and gentlemen. But my name is James Askins. I've been on the show before. You know, what, did you guys have a meeting or something, Shlomo and Antonio? Like, we got to get the ratings back up. They're sliding a little bit. We got to call in the big guns. We got to call in Jimmy Askins to boost up them ratings.
Nail on the head right there.
You think so?
That's what happened.
Is that happened? Okay.
Well, you know what? I've been looking and we've been fairly consistent throughout. So so thank you. Well, you know what? They're going to go even up even more.
Exactly.
He was the former crown king of MMR Talks with scams. Then he got overthrown.
Who overthrew me?
Male expectations with DJ Vo.
Oh, that's a good one. I could see why.
You didn't want to do that one. I'm surprised.
DJ Vo will do it to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys, before we go on to our topic, what's up? How's everybody doing? I know I haven't seen James since New Year's, and the first time I've met Jake and Shlomo, we always talking. So, anything happen interesting, good to anybody?
Let's see. It's always good things around here. We got all kinds of new things, new shows in the works. We just finished season one of the Across the Pond podcast, which is dope. If you haven't heard it yet, you got to check it out. It's UK grime, hip hop. All those good things hosted by myself and Avion.
Season two on the way, or season are they in two. Contract renegotiation?
We're negotiating, but it's pretty much finalized. We're gonna dot some I's, cross some T's, but right. We're working, man.
Well, let me Antonio Acquawelli tell you guys something. I'm pretty irate about something that's been occurring at my residence. Month after month after month. So it's no one here's fault, but I keep getting packages to my house, but it's addressed to a different house.
Really?
Yeah, it's for
your neighbor?
Yeah, for my neighbor that's a couple houses down. But for some reason, everyone except USPS, it's like Amazon and FedEx and UPS, they just keep dropping packages off at my house and some of my neighbor's houses because the other house is kind of tucked away around some other houses. Like, there's my house number, there's like 17, 19, 21, these aren't mine, but... You know, I'm just, and then like they live in like 25, but 25 is like behind like 21 and 23. But they're like, well, this is number 19. That's close to 25, and they just leave it here. And
naturally, you just open it up and see what it is, right?
Well, no, because I'm afraid I'm gonna have that Curb Your Enthusiasm thing where because like normally I would just leave it there or like throw it out or look at it. But what if like one day I pick it up and then the person goes, "Hey, what are you doing? My mother's medicine is in there, and we haven't gotten her medicine in 3 weeks, and you've been taking it from us." And then they're gonna think I'm stealing their packages. We all know how we hate the porch pirates. So yeah, I'm getting pretty annoyed. The tipping point for me was I had to drop them off a couple weeks ago. I don't know what the hell these people ordered. They ordered like some new china because this box was like freaking heavy.
I was to make sure everything was in there.
Oh no, I knew. I'm like, I was just like literally just like dragging this box just like to like five houses down. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, I tried to call UPS, but you know what? You can't call them.
No,
you can't get to them. There's no accountability because every time you call them, it's press 1 for tracking information. Press 2 for address information. Press 3 for business info. And they're like, I literally just go like, speak to agent.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I do not understand that order. And I'm all like, I'm going to call
the Better Business Bureau.
No, I'm going to call the state attorney general because this is getting ridiculous.
Antonio, these UPS workers have been working so hard during
I understand
this pandemic.
That. I
the
understand
least you
that.
Could do is be a middleman. Maybe you'll get a check. Who knows?
I know. That's like if like UPS were sending me like $4 for finishing it off. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cool. But that's not what what's happening.
$4 is the
just to finish
the cheap
off.
Labor charge.
Oh yeah, it should be that $7.25.
It's only down the street, so
I'll pay that.
I know.
What about this? Out of five packages, let's say you get one of those five. Mystery box.
All right, guys. Welcome to the Mass Music Mass Music Radio unboxing.
Mail fraud 101.
But yeah, stop that. If the house says 19 and you know it's going to 25, maybe you should go up the street and look for number 25.
Yeah.
Or send it back to the warehouse because, yeah, we can't find it.
Yeah. Listen, anybody out there listening who delivers or who gets deliveries and wonders why their packages aren't there, I'm saying Antonio could use a new toaster oven, so just keep that in mind.
Wait, we also appreciate what you do, helping the economy go, sending our merch out there.
Facts.
Funny you say toaster oven. Microwave, kind of similar story. My cousin ordered for my sister's new apartment. We all chipped in for like the super fancy microwave, which I was kind of against, but we were like, all right, let's get the microwave. And a week or two goes by and it's just not delivered. And it turns out she put Ave instead of street.
Oh, no.
So we have to go track down the package and knock on this door. And this old lady comes and she's got like kids running around and she's like, you know, I'm like, hey, we might have sent a package here. And she's just like, doesn't say a word, just goes right to the front of the house and grabs the pack. And it's like, right here. So we found it. But
wow,
get it out of here.
Sometimes it's not always UPS either. Sometimes it's just, you know, yourself. FedEx. You're your own worst enemy, you know?
Yeah. You got to make sure when you're punching the information in that, you know what I'm saying, you got the right credentials. I made a very stupid mistake this summer at a Tasty Burger. In Boston.
I remember this one.
Place an online order, and I was very distracted when I was ordering it, and I put in the name as Scooby, like, you know, the order name. And I had my friend's card, who, you know, she paid for it, and we get there, and, you know, she comes back to the car, and she's like, yo, they don't have the order. I'm like, what do you mean they don't have the order? So I go in there, and I'm like, yo, it's like, this is the card.
Strong man.
It already, you know what I'm saying? I came in there hot.
Hey,
and she's like, you know, it already got charged to her bank. So I'm like, where is there? Like, she's like, I'm like, yo, you know, do you have this? I said what we ordered. She's like, well, yeah, I have an order for that, but it's not under your name. I'm like, what name is it under? She goes, what name do you think it's under? I said, I'm not here to play games. What's it under? And she just goes, it's kind of a weird name. I said, what is the name? I'm like arguing with her. I'm getting pissed. She goes, Scooby? And I started dying laughing. I'm like, oh, yeah. Because it was like an hour wait and I completely forgot, you know, and I was like, oh man, I'm so sorry. It was a funny moment, but yeah, like you said, sometimes it is a personal error.
Yeah, the hangar was really taken over. James, anything kooky happen recently?
Well, I heard a story from my mom the other day. She was out shopping, doing motherly things, making things happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's leaving the store and in front of her is like an older lady, right? So she's walking, whatever, and then falls out of the old lady's purse, like, an envelope. My mom, like, picks it up. It's, like, filled with a lot of cash.
Yeah.
My mom, like, tracks her down, like, hey, like, you dropped this, whatever. The lady goes, oh, snatches it from my mom, almost, like, shoves her, and then walks off.
Wow.
Yeah. My mom's a sucker.
Well, you know what they say: no good deed goes unpunished.
Absolutely.
Wow.
That's what I just couldn't believe it, though. I'm like, yeah. If I was an old lady, again, everyone's different, but I would at least like give my mom like $20,
yeah,
or something.
I mean,
like, you dropped it on the ground at Walmart. Come on,
that's as good as gone at that point, bro.
In this economy, you kidding me?
God bless your mother for giving it back to her.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, definitely. I was very proud to hear that, for sure. So that was really good on her. But how the audacity.
I know. Oh,
yeah. Not even a thank you.
Audacity.
Well, you know the old quote from Homer Simpson, never help anyone. Oh, I those were some good days. You know what wasn't some good days? I know we're a couple months off, but man, 2020. God, like I literally right when the ball dropped, I literally ran outside my house and I just gave the big, like, F you 2020, and I was yelling at everybody because it literally felt like, with all that nonsense that happened, it literally felt like the end of the world. Like, it felt like some sort of apocalypse.
Dun, dun,
was
dun.
Was, well,
occurring. He said it.
Yeah. And which brings me into today's topic, and today's topic is about Apocalypse. The Apocalypse. Mass Music Radio Apocalypse.
The End of Days.
Only on FX. So, guys, when you guys hear the word apocalypse or the end of the world, like when you close your eyes, everyone close your eyes. Mm. Apocalypse.
Yeah.
End of the world. What's the first thing you see?
Well, I love Acapulco's. It's my favorite restaurant. I'm sorry.
That's the first thing you think
of? Did I say it?
No. But the first thing I see, honestly, it's the meteor hitting the earth. The explosion. Like, that's the number one thing I think of.
Here's the thing. When I think of not even 2020, when I hear the word apocalypse, I think of 2012. The Mayans, bro.
Oh, yeah?
When I was a kid, bro, you know, I was still like on the come up, you know, I was 13, 14. I was young, right? And I'll never forget like going down a wormhole on the internet of like reading into like the Mayan prophecies, right? And at this point, I'm like, yo, I've lived such a lit life. Like I've had so much fun and I was born in such a great time that I'm like, if this is the end of the world, like I'm just blessed to have, you know, my 14, 15 years on this earth. I fully believe that like the world was going to end. I think it was like December 21st, 2012. It was like the end of time.
1-2-2-1-12.
Yes. And it wasn't necessarily the numbers. It was just all of the facts. Well, I put air quotes, the facts base around it. And like the Mayan calendar was set to expire at that point in time.
What trips me out though is like, what if the Mayan calendar in the end of the world was just off by like 8 years? You know what I'm saying? So like oh, 2012 God. Was the date, but
they
like.
They didn't have leap year then.
So, yeah.
No such thing.
So wait, do the math.
Or daylight savings. Does that affect the length of the years?
I have no idea. I just remember thinking
they
didn't, of
no, like, they used
think
to, yeah.
They didn't, well, they didn't do that. Yeah. Only, I think we started that. Like, right. Some places in the U.S. don't do daylight savings.
Well, look at it like this. It was 2012 and it was December, right? So a few weeks later, it became 2013. And I remember looking at a calendar like, I did not even conceive that like the world could go beyond 2012. So at that point, I'm like, anything going forward is just like, we're on extra time right now. You know what I'm saying? It's
borrowed
it's
time.
Super lit. Yeah.
Yeah, the Matrix. It's tight.
Hell yeah. Jake, how about you, Jake?
What are you thinking?
I think of the first three things that come to mind were three F words. Can I say the F word?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Fuck, because like, fuck, the world's ending. Fire, because I feel like it's just everything's going to burn no matter how it goes. And Francis Ford Coppola, the director of Apocalypse Now, because Apocalypse and Apocalypse Now, it's just a sick movie and
hell
kind of
yeah.
Just goes right there.
Take notes, kids.
So yeah, I'd say any of those three. Oh, definitely take notes on Apocalypse Now.
When I think of like the apocalypse and the world, and Jake's exactly right. When I close my eyes, I always think of literally any single time I think fire, specifically like the California fires. Which ones? All of them. Really all of them. They just seem to happen at least once a year now. Like,
and
that, like that stuff is like hell on earth right
Australian
there.
Australian fires.
Yeah, and the Australian fires, yeah.
Nothing crazy, but I mean, driving on the highway, you could see like thick smoke over in the mountains. It was.
Oh, God.
Well, you know what? That's not what they told us. They told us it was horrible.
No. There were parts that were like the parts that were burning were horrible. What I saw wasn't like awful, but what I did see when I flew back into Sydney for like the last couple days before leaving, I was just expecting beautiful Sydney. It's always sunny. And you could see maybe the edge of the studio and the rest was covered in smoke. It was it was the thickest smoke. It wasn't even fog. You literally could not see more than like 50 yards.
Wow.
It was actually insane. Couldn't see off the rooftop. They didn't recommend you standing outside. So like that was insane to see the rush off. But yeah, Australian fires. It was, I feel like no matter what, like how, even if the world ended by a flood, like
somehow everything catches on fire.
Somehow a tree is going to light on fire. It's kind of.
Oh, yeah. Another thing, too, is like we spoke a little bit before we started recording about animals, right? I heard a stat that like during the Australian wildfires that like millions upon millions of animals died. Like millions. I couldn't believe that. I'm like, yo. And some of them went extinct. There was like all kinds of reports. And I'm like, damn.
It was
I don't know how many animals
close
are out
to
there,
it.
But damn.
Sad to see. Some of the roads that like I had taken a trip on, you know, I looked at one picture and then I saw another picture of it. And it was, yeah, it was apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Very
I don't know if you got to see the videos of like firefighters giving water to like koalas. And
yeah.
It was awful, man.
Literally hell on earth. And it's actually a good Because anytime I would think about the Los Angeles, the California fires, I then think of the movie This Is the End, where that's pretty much what happens in that movie.
Yo, did you see?
Such a great movie. It was a viral video of, I think it was on the 405 or the 101, like on the highway, them driving, and then just the side of the mountain was just ablaze. And it was real life, but it looked like a movie. Yeah. Did you see that? Oh my God. I watched that and I'm like, it was scary because I've been on those roads and just to look and see the entire side of the hill, like, ablaze.
Well, you know what? Spooky. If they clean their forests, they wouldn't burn.
If they rake them,
yeah, that's it.
Grab the rake.
That's it. It's gonna
grab the rake. Grab the bags.
It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen again.
Well,
so.
you mentioned Apocalypse Now. You mentioned This Is the End, but you know Armageddon over both those movies, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever. I know for sure. I never saw Armageddon.
If you want a for sure way to cry, watch Armageddon.
Hmm. I don't know if I need any more reasons to cry right now, but I'll put it on the back burner.
Yep.
Facts.
So I want to talk about, in recent memory, we were literally just talking about this, but we can go further into depth. The world was supposed to end in my lifetime, two different times. Our lifetime. I think I'm older than all of you. Yeah, I'm the
95.
Oh, here we go. Battle of the old folks.
Be older.
Are you 95?
Yeah, be older than me. I don't give a shit. Just keep me young.
I'm July 18th.
All right, I'm young spring chicken.
Let's go. Beep, 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 beep. The old man.
But the point is, and you remember this too. There was this thing that everyone was like shitting their pants over called Y2K.
Oh.
Back in my day. Literally, I had to. I remember hearing about Y2K and I go, Mom. There's no way all of you were so freaked out by Y2K. Like, oh no, yeah, everyone was freaking out because my mom works in finance. She's like, yeah, everyone was freaking out. They're pulling all their money out of the banks and they were like, everything. Everyone was freaking out because I don't know if you guys remember. So at the time, 1999, when they built all the computers, for some reason, they said the computers can't handle what would happen when it goes from 1999 to 2000.
Yeah.
And they're all going to like, they thought it was going to cause a global technological meltdown. Everything with the computer chip was going to go bust. They're all really freaking out about it. And, you know, 21 years in the future, I can't. Ironically enough, we have more technology now where it seems a lot more possible, but I can't fathom being freaked out over something like that. I really can't.
No. It just. 2012, I guess, was our. Like, yeah, I remember being at my family friend's house. I think I watched Star Wars Y2K. but 2012 was like our Y2K. And I feel like that was a bit different because that was like the calendar ending. So it was kind of like, okay, well, their calendar has been going for so long. Why is it ending on this day? Versus the technology, I feel like that would just be like, you know, just up the date. Like we have the technology to up the date. So, I mean, from what I remember, I don't think my family was too bugged out about it. But I know of people like, taking out all the money they've owned and going crazy and can't get caught up in the conspiracy.
That's true. If you do the bank runs, you're going to crash the economy. What do you think happened in 1929 besides the stock market crashing? Everyone took their money out of the banks. The banks got no money to invest in people's homes and then they take the homes and then people got no jobs or places to live and sleep.
And then we're screwed. You know what Y2K reminds me of? I was very young. I was what? 4 years old, right?
1999, yeah.
It reminds me of Chris Jericho, Y2J. And he's a wrestler, if you guys don't know. And his theme song, like his Titantron, like his theme music would be like a bunch of numbers coming in. And then he'd come out dancing. And I was like, yo, this is kind of lit. And I didn't know what, I know he was like playing on words of like Y2K, Y2J. But only until I was a lot older, I realized the significance of the year 2000.
And it took me a while to realize that Y2K stood for year 2000.
I had no idea what it came out, what it was standing for.
That's pretty cool.
They talked about it at Family Guy, I remember, in here. And I was like, why is it Y2K? My dad was like, year 2000.
Family Guy covered it. The Simpsons covered it in Treehouse of Horror. It's a pretty funny one. James, what are your thoughts on Y2K? Do you think that their fear was justified back in the day?
Yeah, seeing it's a whole new deal. 99 for 2000. And then you just think of like the mass hysteria. And I think back then, like the internet was still not at its real peak, but it was still there. And I think a lot of news was spreading through there. And it's very similar to like, I think what happened in 2012, you know, like the whole Mayan calendar thing. I'm sure there's a bunch of Facebook sharing and, like, you know,
the
information age. Like, so they're kind of similar in that stance. I think a lot of, like, news was getting out there and a lot of, like, rumors and bullshit and internet theories and stuff like that, conspiracy theories. Like, it's fun. It's a fun topic. It is kind of a fun topic. The whole, you know, this could be the end of society.
It's cool, too, though. Like, you brought up the internet. It was early, too. So a lot of people now, it's like, don't believe everything you hear on the internet, right? But back then, it was like anything you see was like, oh, this is facts.
Facebook was just about your friends at that point. It wasn't all these conspiracy theories and
Antonio bitching about stuff.
Yep. The good old days.
I know. I off topic, but anytime like Facebook, for some reason, Facebook always says, oh, you got a notification. I always think, oh, someone liked my profile picture or someone liked my status. No, we just want to, you know, give you just all this nonsense. Like, they'll send me, like, notifications from, like, oh, you sent this back 9 years ago. I'm like, I hate it. I hate how dumb I was.
Love the Facebook memories? I love those old statuses.
I do, but not when they go back too far.
Jakes are hilarious.
When they go back too far.
Yeah, I'm always sharing them. Dude, I would just talk absolute nonsense and, like, the classic, you know, like, what W-A-T you are up to, you know, things like that. It's hilarious.
The slang was there.
It would literally be like...
It'd be cringy, like, for sure. I know what you mean.
It'd be 2011 at like 10 o'clock and it would just be a status says, in class.
Yeah. Chilling, then homework, then nothing.
Yeah.
Who asked? To be fair, I'm still saying that things and nobody's asking, so I blame Facebook for that.
Hell yeah.
Another thing on Y2K, though, I think we can thank the existence of from that is Futurama. I think if we know Y2K hysteria, there would have been no Futurama.
There would have been no Futurama.
Yeah, so that's a huge one for me.
Is that what Futurama started?
That's like the first episode. I think Fry gets frozen because it's about to be 2000, and he doesn't. And then
cheers to another lousy millennium.
Yep,
that's the line.
One of the best animated
coming our show, Billy West.
Ever in my opinion,
love Futurama. But going back again, we were talking about the Mayan calendar, 2012. Was anyone's perception of 2012 influenced by the movie?
Yes.
No.
Is it John Cusack, I think?
Yeah, Cusack and Dennis Leary.
I don't know. I've never seen it. Oh. I didn't want to. I was too afraid at the time. I was like, I don't believe it, but I'm not going to see it just to start bugging myself.
We talked about the movie in the very first episode, remember, one of the 2010s, which was took place in 2012. I'm trying to remember because what they said was every place in the world is going to get it different. Mm-hmm. And if you live on the Eastern Seaboard or the West Coast, you're gonna get hit by the tidal waves.
The San Andreas fault line is gonna explode.
I just thought it looked like a
Harrelson,
shitty movie.
I think you're thinking it.
I'm like, I'm not watching this.
Well, he was in that.
What you think? You thought 2012 was a good movie?
It's dumb fun.
Yeah,
dumb fun.
Yeah,
like I just watched Birds of Prey a couple nights ago. Dumb fun.
Yeah. The Rock made a similar movie around the same time, if I'm not mistaken.
You mean San Andreas?
Yeah.
Oh, that came out recently. It was just about an earthquake.
Okay.
And I think Mosley from Ned's Declassified was playing his daughter.
Wow.
I think. Wow. I'm not entirely sure, but we gotta double check.
Wait, wow. Mo's the girl, right?
Yeah.
She's been in a
lot of stuff. Wait, no, hold on. I think it might be someone else, but it's either her or Annabelle from the Percy Jackson movies.
Right.
But I look it
love
up, kids.
Percy Jackson.
The kids who watch our show when they shouldn't be.
You just mentioned Percy Jackson.
Yeah.
I was bullied. The only time I was bullied in my life is I used to read those books.
Oh, what?
Yeah, and I got bullied. I was like,
James,
why?
No, it wasn't James. Safe space, bro. Safe space.
No, it wasn't James.
I love Percy Jackson.
Did you read the second series?
I read all of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
The second series is so fire. The movies were trash. Nah, I can't.
I don't even want to get started with the movies.
I could do a whole episode of just roasting those movies. I have never, I've never made an online review or complaint or anything like that, but I made three different accounts to just bash those movies because they were awful and I could not stand anybody saying, like, that's a good movie.
That was my first time where, like, I remember watching Harry Potter and then having people, oh, it's not like the book, right? And I used to just roast them, like, oh, you guys are nerds, whatever, because I never read the books. The books were the size of, like, the Bible. It was way too long. And it was the first time where, like, I read all the series and watched the movie, and I'm like, yo, they left out so many parts, and, like, I've instantly remembered, like, I was like, yo, I know exactly what it's like, Harry Potter fans.
Yeah, but, like, the Harry Potter, at least for the story is there. Dude, the end of the first movie, they just completely, like, They don't even mention Kronos, like the main bad guy of the stories. They just pretend he's not there, and they have that kid, Luke. Mm-hmm. He's just like, nah, it's time for the demigods to rise up. And you're like, well, you can't have that storyline because none of the other movies follow that. Oh, I'm done. But I hear they're making a new series. I think he's in talks with Disney. They're going to make a series, and I think that will be sweet.
I'm with it.
Yeah,
I'm with it.
That'll be tight.
So I remember. So this is gonna get a little bit of a downer very, very quickly. Oh, so,
I love it.
In 2012, I know very quickly. So 2012, before December 21st, the Mayan apocalypse. A couple weeks ago, a very tragic thing happened in Newtown, Connecticut. We'll just leave it at that.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So our high school, we actually got an internal threat that is going to occur at Quincy High School. And it was supposed to take place on the 21st. So not only did I have the fear of drowning and watching my Spanish teacher, who I didn't like, trying to save himself and drown, but the fear of getting personally injured at school. So I was literally begging, pleading, I go, Mom, please, I don't want to go to school on the 21st. Why? Well, one, the Mayan apocalypse is supposed to happen and I want to be with my family. And two, things might get a bit rowdy at school. We're doing everything we can to not mention guns.
Yeah.
But I forgot about that.
Yeah. It was a threat to Quincy High.
Yeah. So I got to stay home and everything was fine. Well, for us.
Although that day, if I remember correctly, was very foggy, bro. It was an ominous day.
It was.
I walked through Quincy Point and it was a thick layer of fog around the city and it was spooky and it was scary, bro. Yeah,
it thundered. It thundered and it shouldn't have been thundering that day. I remember we were in science class and it thundered and everybody looked around and I was like, well, this is it. These are the people I'm going down with.
You look around.
Yeah. Pretty good class. Couple substitutions could have been made, but like for the most part, that was a good class. What was that? That was
2012.
Senior year. Yeah, that was 2012 environmental. You know who you are.
Shout out to the homies, yeah, man.
Shout out to the homies.
If that was the way to go out, you know what I'm saying? So be it.
Honestly, anytime, like, I don't do it anymore because of COVID, but anytime I would be on the T and, like, you know, we have to stop on the red line, you know, you just got to stop sometimes. I look around, I go, can I live the rest of my life with the people in this train? Who's the most attractive person on this train? Am I the most attractive on this train?
No brainer.
Am I a liability because I'm the most attractive on this plane? Who are all the old people? What are their skills? And then we end up going, next stop, Broadway. All right. Next time. Never am I satisfied, though.
Yeah.
There's never any...
Well, if you're on the red line, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I don't want to die on the red line. I don't want to die on any of these local lines. Green line, maybe. That's kind of a cool one, right by Fenway.
Well, we're nuts. All right. Now, we're all pretty up there in age. We're all in our early 30s. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, growing up, when people talk to you about the apocalypse and the end of the world, what have they always told you? Like, I remember my dad's a pretty... I don't want to call him anything nasty, but he's always aware of what could happen, how the world could end. Mm-hmm. Like, one time... this is a repeat story, but one time he told me if the Mayan apocalypse were to happen, Massachusetts gets hit with tidal waves. Shlomo knows. But do you know what he said to me if we get hit by a tidal wave? He said, if we get hit by a tidal wave and you're under the water, just breathe it all in. It'll all be over soon.
Oh, my God. Great advice.
That's what he told me, and I'm all like thanks.
Don't fight it.
I thought you said grab a paddle or something.
I know, like I really am like intent on swimming, and then I'll probably get hit by a car, and then I'll be gone. But the thing that I always think of when I think about the apocalypse is for those who don't know, I am in fact a big scary Catholic.
Uh oh.
Most Christians think this anyway. We're always taught about the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll say it anyway. So what the rapture is when Jesus comes back, because he died a while ago, and when he comes back, is he supposed to go to war with the Antichrist and the army of Satan in hell, and Jesus comes back, he's like, oh, no, not on my watch, and he's going to bring the armies of heaven to fight the Antichrist and the hell demons, but before all that nonsense goes down, the rapture happens when all the good Christians ascend into heaven. Which is actually the plot, too. This is the end. All the good Christians go up to heaven, and all the shitty people have to stay and be fodder in the war.
Oh.
And I didn't get to the end of the book. I don't know who wins, but, you know.
TBD.
I'd assume my team wins because, you know, we wrote the book. But that's, you know, that's something that I always thought of, you know, hell, yeah, fire and monsters and angels and all that. That's the traditional apocalypse for us Christians.
What I've been told. Let's see. I think, you know, every year I get told the same story by people. Oh, I thought the Blizzard of 78 was the end of the world. I was stuck in my house for 3 days. And it's like, yo, I hear it every year. And I'm like, I'm just shoveling, doing my thing. I'm like, yo, there was a snowstorm. And I think it was 2013 in the February.
Snowstorm
that was like,
Nemo.
I remember
it was
that.
Awful. Snowstorm it was Nemo. Literally the worst. But it's like, all right, you know, you shovel for 3 days straight and then you get over it. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I hear stories of the Blizzard of 78, dude.
I always hear about the Blizzard of 78.
2013 was actually, Nemo was pretty crazy.
It was
Nemo
incredible.
Was
I remember shoveling my neighbor's house, like helping them shovel their driveway.
What a trooper.
Shoveling and throwing the snow onto a pile that was like 4 feet taller than me. And I'm about 6 feet. So it's like I'm throwing piles 10 feet into the air just like for hours. I'm like, this is awful. And I split my own wig at that point. I was, I made a fort. The corner of my street, right where the street meets the corner, there was a bunch of plows that like built this huge mound. I was on the thing digging around, and I wasn't paying attention. I stood up, and the corner of the street sign slit my head.
Oh,
yeah, ooh. Cut my head. Yeah,
yeah, that sucks. Like shit. right when you get up, you get the bam. Right.
Yes, it was awful.
That happened to me. Except it was for musical theater.
Oh wow,
that's another story for another day.
Yeah, no man, that was tough. But I mean, the end of days, man. I look at it like this. Even with the natural disasters, it's like our species, we have been known to adapt and overcome. You know what I mean? Obviously, we need to fight global warming. We need to fight like things that we can do to like try to alleviate it. But I don't think we're at the point where like, yo, there's going to be terrible snowstorms. There's going to be horrible wildfires. It's like we got to figure out better ways to live with it and combat it, I think.
Adapt and overcome.
Yeah, exactly. Easier said than done, but we need to do it.
Now let's scale back a bit, because we've been talking about stuff that has occurred or what we assumed would occur. Are there any fictitious apocalyptic scenarios, you know, like in film, books, video games, that stuck out to you because of its creativity or its horrifying nature? And I know Shlomo has just jumped at the idea. Like
the locusts.
What, like from the Bible?
Yes. Plagues, like when the locusts, because that was the first one with like a bunch of like.
Big no to all those plagues.
Oh, but
the locusts.
But you know what?
That was the big one.
That stuff happens all the time. I think it actually in like Northern Africa or like somewhere in like in that general area, like they're all over the place. They just show up, and it's at least an encumbrance and a nuisance, at most incredibly ecologically devastating.
I'm pretty sure they can kill you, dude. If there's like millions at like a swarm of them.
Well, if they all flew into your mouth, what then, do like, they do? You couldn't breathe.
They eat everything. Dude.
They eat everything.
They eat you.
You ever seen a nematode episode of SpongeBob?
Oh, or those things from The Mummy?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, they were locusts.
Yes.
Those
exactly.
are terrible.
Imagine 10 million of those all squatted up.
My worst nightmare.
Flying
My
through Quincy.
My worst fucking nightmare.
Yes, exactly. So that's in a scenario which I would never want to see ever, ever, ever.
Yeah, I know.
And the sad thing is, it can happen because locusts are real.
Yeah. All set on that, man.
Yeah. I agree with like the plagues. I was thinking that too. Like all of those kind of freaked me out. Specifically, have you seen the movie Noah? Although that was, I shouldn't say specifically a plague, but thinking Bible. The movie Noah, where everybody is just piled on top of each other over all the waves, like when the world's flooding, that just stuck out to me. I was just, you know, a little, it's not sober for class, and I was just kind of looking like, oh, this movie's going to be sweet. And then it was just like really dark and kind of disturbing, and I was like, jeez.
I gotta tell you about that movie Noah. I pick up the Bible here and there, you know, skim around, see if there's anything, you know, good I could use. But I know for a fact that Noah, played by Russell Crowe, was not talking to rock monsters in the Old Testament.
There's no way.
There's like there's these rock monsters like, Noah, you're going to build an ark. What are you going to build an ark?
It's a terrible movie.
Yeah, it's not that. It's not that good. For some reason, Hermione's in it, and she's all like, "Oh, I'm a girl from the village, and I want a place to live." And Noah's son's like, "Oh, Dad, could you stay with us?" "No, she can't. You testicle."
When you put it like that, it actually sounds pretty good.
Well, we were just I almost said we were making fun of Russell Crowe, which we were not. We were regaling South Park making fun of Russell Crowe before we came in. Something that kind of freaks me out. They're kind of both a little bit of the same thing. So have we all seen or heard about the snap from Infinity War?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, So Thanos, the big purple bad guy, his goal, what does he achieve it or does he not? His goal is to gather all the Infinity Stones and with the snap of my fingers, he can eliminate half of the life in the universe.
Wow.
Half the life in the universe. And if he were to succeed, go watch Marvel's Avengers Infinity War to find out if he were to succeed, half of everything. It could be two of us could be gone. Three of us could be gone in this room. Hell, all four of us could be gone and four people out in the hall could make it.
How does he decide? Or who decides?
It's random.
It's at random. The universe decides. Have you not seen this?
I'm not going to lie. I have not seen it. I know what you're talking about because I've seen like the fake, like almost like the Hulk arm, the toy. Like there's those of the gauntlet, Thanos arm. I've seen those, but
Infinity Gauntlet.
You don't know what he does, right? Film, no.
Oh, dude, you have to see it. It's epic. I'm on my second time running back the MCU in order. It's just anytime I'm just chilling, I'm like, I could just throw on like Civil War or Captain America, and it's always awesome.
Do you have to know like the cartoons and the storyline all that?
No, it's a pretty self-contained.
It helps, but yeah, you could watch Infinity War. You wouldn't know a few characters. The first time I saw it, there's a point in an endgame where, you know, Thanos says to someone like, I don't even know who you are. And I was like, I am agree with Thanos. I don't know who the hell that is. But like when you go back and watch the movies, you're like, oh, okay, that's who it is.
I don't even know who you are. You will.
Yeah.
WandaVision.
When that happened, I was like, who the hell is that? I had no idea. I saw Infinity War too, but like, I didn't know the whole story from like, what is that? Is that Winter Soldier? No, it's Civil War and Age of Ultron that they appear in.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Question.
Age of Ultron, Civil War.
I'm so not hip to it. Does it have to do with the Guardians of the Galaxy at all?
Yeah, they're in it too.
Is Groot a character?
Yeah.
He is. He's a beast, dude.
Is he? That's my brother's dog is named after Groot.
Oh, I love that.
And I remember you should, when he named the dog, he's like, oh, his name is Groot. I'm like, excuse me? Like, what? His name is Groot. And then he showed me the character is like a little stick. And his dog is a Chesapeake Bay Retriever, like a little brown dog. And I'm like, oh, it makes sense. And all he says is, I am Groot. I'm like, this is hilarious. But I remember telling my Nana the name of the dog and she was just so confused. Like, he's named after what? I'm like, a stick in a movie. He's like, as long as it makes David happy. I'm like, yeah okay.
Another one. I've talked about it in another episode. Like, I talked about this in episode 5. If you want to go all the way back to Ethics with Antonio Acuella, Shalom Bow, and DJ Chris Cross, feel free to. But I talked about Brian K. Vaughan's Why the Last Man. And the whole thing about it is something miraculous happens that kills off everything, not everyone, everything with a Y chromosome on the planet Earth. So it's basically just the main character, Yorick, and his little pet monkey, and everything else has a Y chromosome. So he's one man in a world of billions of women. And I know what we all initially get to, but it's a pretty rough journey for old Yorick. And it's actually getting adapted on FX.
That's so incredible.
It's a comic book, Why the Last Man.
Why the Last Man, I'll look it up.
Sounds loved it, loved it. So, yeah, because, you know, the first issue, the thing happens where, like, all these guys, you know, guys with Y chromosomes, like, something happens, they're, like, bleeding out their mouths and their eyes, and they're all dying, like, they don't know what's going on. And I just remember this one little, they cut to a farm, and it's this little girl holding, like, a dead little pig. She's like, Dad, the pig is sick. And it cuts to, like, her dad just, like, bleeding out of everywhere.
Oh, God. I think it cuts to the morning. They're cooking bacon in the morning. Like, what do you want for, what do you want for lunch?
The pig is sick.
If you like that show, have you ever seen the show The Leftovers on HBO?
I haven't gotten into it. I think that's about the rapture, right?
It's basically the rapture. It's not, they don't say it's the rapture. No one obviously could really know, but just 2% of the world disappears. This is kind of, it's very random.
2%?
2% of the world just instantly vanishes one day.
That's not that bad.
But it's still a lot of people, but no one really knows why or where they went. And it's you'd think it's the rapture, but a lot of bad people also disappeared too. So it's like, no one knows what happened. But the show really just takes place like 5 years after the fact.
Well, you know what? Right before they were taken, they accepted Jesus Christ as their true Lord and Savior. And by that, the crazy rules of Christianity, they automatically get to go in. We got to fix that, Pope.
Forgiveness.
Yeah, Pope. If you're out there listening, fix it up, man.
Listen to your Pope. You and your hat. I'm sure he's a...
I'm surprised we haven't mentioned a zombie apocalypse.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Zombies. You know, I always think I'd be ready for it. But then again, I know I don't think I could. I have the heart. I don't have the body.
And you think, like, you think I would, growing up, would talk about the show, like, the was it The Walking Dead?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wasn't really into that show. But what movie really influenced me was Dawn of the Dead.
Oh.
That movie.
The old one or the new one?
There's a new one.
Well, the new one, 2004.
Like the old one. Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, so that the 2004 is the new one?
Yeah, the first one was in like the 80s.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
So the 2004 one.
The 2004 one messed me up mentally. But then now I think about the zombie apocalypse, and I think it'd go kind of how Shaun of the Dead goes.
Yeah. I was going to say, you've definitely seen Shaun of the Dead.
Oh,
then.
Yeah. It's very
it's fantastic.
Probably one of my favorite movies. But like, it's.
Here's the thing. I think our generation is probably the most well-equipped out of all the generations because we all grew up playing zombies on Call of Duty. So God forbid the zombies attack, I think we'd all know what to do.
I don't have the ray gun, though, or the thunder gun. My buddy Clint, is a joke we have in our group chat still, like back in like 2010, he was like, boys, my uncle has the thunder gun. And so now whenever we're talking about the apocalypse or something, we're like, you know, Dom, get your uncle's thunder gun.
Call
right
your
now.
Uncle.
Yeah, call your uncle.
See, that's what I'm saying. You know exactly what to do. You can make one phone call and we'll be straight.
Yeah.
You know, worst comes to worst. The best case scenario for zombie apocalypse, if it's like the first like 10 zombies happen in like Georgia or Florida and everyone's got guns, holy
Florida.
Shit. And then they'll get rid of it in like 20 minutes. We'll be all set.
Yeah.
And then they'll be heroes. We will celebrate them for saving us.
Here's the thing. A zombie apocalypse is not that far-fetched. Because you see people on bath salts, you see people on all kinds of drugs and stuff. It's very easy to think like, yo, they could probably make a drug that like, you know, messes people up to the point where they're like on some cannibal type shit. Like,
I think there's been studies on insects that kind of like go nuts and start eating their own and stuff like that. So if it could happen to insects, maybe we can.
Oh, I believe it.
It could happen to us.
Definitely. Of course it could happen to us.
I would hate a zombie apocalypse. It would just be like, I know that, you know, people are like, oh, I'd be prepared. The only people who are prepared with all those guns, but like, you wouldn't know what to do if like, you know, it depends what type of zombies too. Are they the slow walking ones or are they ones in like Left 4 Dead where like you have the massive thing that throws you? Yeah. Or
full speed. I'd be like,
cooked.
I'd jump off a building. I would jump off a building. You don't get the
absolutely
chance to bite this nice
No,
flesh.
I would definitely just off. But they just can't get away from that. I mean, there's just.
Especially if they were intelligent, right? Like, if, let's say even your door's locked, they'll smash the window and get in. Or if they're dumb zombies that are just like, oh, looking for brains, like, and they were slow walking.
Shaun of the Dead.
You don't even need a
Those
gun.
Those ones, you're all right. Yeah.
You bring a Louisville Slugger baseball bat and just start cracking skulls.
It'd be epic. Would you prefer a zombie apocalypse or an alien apocalypse?
Oh. Probably. It's harder to say with aliens because we don't even know what kind of weapons they got.
Aliens, because one, they could be friendly. But you know what? It depends on where they land. If they land in like the wrong spot on the planet Earth, they're going to get a rude awakening. But if they land in like Minnesota, well, how you doing there?
If they have the technology,
Minnesota is where the aliens are going.
If aliens have the technology to travel light years away and come into our atmosphere, they're gonna have the means to take care of us. We're not beating no aliens in a war. I don't think we're gonna win.
I'm pretty confident we can win because, you know, all we got to do is just like, if they're abducting people, just send all the COVID people up there. Then they'll be gone. They'll be gone. It'll be done in like 30 days. We will win.
They're probably a lot shorter than we are, too.
We will.
How do you know that?
I just think it. I just got a feeling. Have you ever seen aliens like in the movies? They're always like 4 foot nothing. You ever seen E.T.?
What? You ever see Scooby-Doo?
Oh, yeah.
They're massive.
That's true.
On They're the dinosaurs.
Side, Men in Black, too.
Well, if they were the size of E.T. or they look like E.T., right? His head is the size of like a watermelon and his arms are
like
as skinny as twigs.
Grapefruit and a half, yeah.
Absolutely bundle if the aliens looked like E.T.
Oh, my God. It wouldn't stand a chance.
Yeah.
All I've ever wanted to do in my life was to hit E.T. with a bat. Can't stand him.
I don't
Pops
like E.T.
Like a
either.
Pinata.
So.
You don't like E.T.?
Nah, he's kind of gross.
Really do it for
kind of gross looking.
Yeah, he's just kind of freaky. I did find something on, there's a bit of history I wanted to share real quick about an alien apocalypse.
Please do.
October 30th, 1938, Orson Welles read a bit of his War of the Worlds on a radio station. And they gave a public announcement beforehand saying, hey, if you're listening, this is fake. This is not real. It's just from the book. So he goes on, he starts reading his book. But those who didn't hear that beginning, it's 1938. If you don't hear that beginning, you don't know what he's talking about. So people started to go crazy. People killed themselves. People sold their homes. People went nuts because they thought aliens were attacking. They're listening at home to like, their, you know, cities are burning. And nobody knows. 1938. And so everybody started freaking out. And so since then, you have to, I don't know, some rule came up. Like, you can't
do that.
You
have to do a disclaimer.
Yeah, you have to do like a big disclaimer, which they did, but... If you missed it, which most people did.
You know, it's so funny.
Jeez.
Before we move on, it's so funny that like...
That's awful.
Awful, dude.
Every single class awful. I've been into about the history of media, we always talk about the War of the Worlds broadcast. And I always hear two different things. One, what you said, everyone was freaking out and killing themselves. And then I think it was regional, wherever you were. Like,
yeah,
if you were like
sure.
in like rural Oklahoma, they're like, yeah, it's fine. It was fun. It wasn't that great, but if you're like in Manhattan and like you just got out of the cab and everyone's like, oh, come listen to the radio, and then, you know, freaking everybody out. But, you know, it's fun. I think it's fun.
I wonder what the reception was. I bet a lot of people were pissed off.
Oh, yeah, I'd imagine. I don't think they've ever done it ever since.
Yeah, humor back then was definitely a lot drier. Like, if that happened now, obviously with Twitter, it wouldn't happen, but I could see people getting furious at that radio host.
It was a pie in the face. That was hilarious to them back then.
Yeah, that's true.
So I want to talk about, now we talk, of course we talked about what could occur, but mm-hmm. I want to talk about what has occurred. This stuff has happened, where life on Earth as we know it has ended before. There have been five, like if we were alive back then, it would be curtains for us. So there have been five mass extinction events in history, and this is courtesy of National Geographic's, and kids, take out your pens. This is incredibly informative when I was doing this research. So the first mass extinction event that took place 440 million years ago was the Ordovician and Silurian mass extinction. So what happened was, because there were so many plants, you know, like plants, like grass and clovers and stuff, all the plants sucked all the carbon monoxide out of the air. And it made the air too cold, and it made the water hot, and the temperature in the water went up, and it killed 86% of the life on Earth. Now, this back then, all the life on Earth lived in water back then.
Wow.
So basically,
hot tub time machine.
Yeah, hot tub time machine. So basically, I think what it was is the air outside was too cold and the water was too hot.
It was brick and it was steamy and there was too much sucking going on from the from the plants, bro.
I saw that out of the corner
of my
eye.
That would be a good way to go extinct.
in a hot tub.
Yeah. I just don't get what happened. So you boil?
You literally boil, and if it's too hot, you get out, you freeze.
Yeah.
Just fried all the fish.
Yeah.
I like fried fish.
Yeah, fish and chips, dude.
That's all there was back then. All like the bacteria.
So that was,
like,
the,
super
that was the first big
stuff.
One? What was the second one?
The second one was 365 million years ago, called the Late Dovinian. I feel embarrassed because I was literally pronouncing these all correct last night. Now I'm not entirely sure. But it's the Late Devonian extinction, and there are two theories about it. It's caused by algae blooms, which still happen to this day. So it was, again, algae blooms were caused by plants and the ocean. What happened was all the algae was sucking up all the oxygen in the water, and there was no one could breathe. Sucking up.
There's a lot of sucking going on.
Tons of sucking.
Causing all kinds of destruction, man.
In the world one end.
Because it sucked.
Yeah.
So essentially, there was no oxygen in the water, and everything that would breathe oxygen in the water died.
Damn.
Not everything. 86% of what? Not 86. 75% of life killed. There's a second theory where Earth got cold. It just said Earth got cold.
That's
what Nat Geo is saying.
Well, that's what I abbreviated it to. So basically,
fair enough.
So Earth got cold again, which led to more glaciers.
So what you're telling me is global warming is a good thing.
It really does depend on the circumstance of what the time, what people, the things needed at the time.
Interesting. Very interesting. All I know is this winter, we have not had a really cold winter, and that hasn't been that bad on me.
No.
So the glaciers,
Boston, yeah.
So the glaciers are made up of ocean water, and it caused sea level to drop, which resulted to loss of habitat. So the creatures that lived at the top layer of the ocean, they had no place to live, and then they died.
It's sad to see, man.
Again, I think this is all like bacteria and stuff. I don't know. I was never there.
What about the super volcano?
We're getting there. So the third mass extinction event was 252 million years ago, the Permian-Triassic extinction, where volcanic activity caused air and water temperatures to rise, and all the carbon emitted into the air created a toxic environment consisting of more acidic oceans and acid rain, and it killed 96% of the life on Earth.
Wow. Acid rain.
And I think at the time we had like lizards and like rats and stuff, so a lot of them weren't making
all the
it.
Good animals.
Acid rain is a tough way for the world to go extinct.
It's like I'm so thirsty, but I can't leave the cave.
Some
like,
stay dry, and others feel
96% of life on Earth.
That's a lot of things.
Yeah, and it's all the stuff in the ocean, because the ocean, that's what's happening right now, ocean acidification. Like, you know why all the coral is white? That's why. It's too much acid in the ocean.
I would survive the volcano. I'm built different.
But there's nothing to drink. All the fresh water is acid, and all the ocean water is acid.
Some
people like acid.
Jake, you're going to say something?
No.
All right. So the
keep it PG.
All right. No more sucking.
Damn it.
We're done promises. With the sucking.
So the fourth mass extinction event was 201.3 million years ago, the Triassic-Jurassic mass extinction, where yet again, volcanic activity yet again released carbon into the atmosphere, trapping carbon, leading into more ocean acidification and further climate change. Some scientists believe that a small comet or asteroid impact may have caused the volcanic activity.
Yo, story time. I was in Arizona at one point in
my life.
And I
got hit by a comet.
No, but here's the thing. I went to a place called the Meteor Crater. That's the only way I can describe it. It is literally a crater in the middle of the desert, humongous. Like, I didn't get to go down into the crater. I was at the crest of it, right? But then they have this little binocular thing. You look into the binocular, right? And there is a cutout of I think it's an astronaut or whatever, holding a flag. And the astronaut is like 9 feet tall. And if you don't look in the binoculars, you can barely see it, just to give you like the depth of the size of this crater.
Of the crater, right?
Yes. It's absolutely incredible. And you're looking around, it's a flat desert, and all of a sudden there is just a massive crater.
It's just this bowl in the ground.
So I believe it, man. We definitely got smoked. The earth got smacked with something. But there was no debris. I was trying to look for rocks. I was trying to put my geologist shoes on. My archaeologist, I'm like digging in the ground.
So
I'm
you
like,
were thinking, oh, I'm sure there's
I'm looking for some evidence there. It was just a crater. I didn't see any sort of dust from the moon. I don't know.
Speaking of evidence, is this what supposedly killed the dinosaurs?
No, that's not that one.
Okay.
There's got to be more, man, because that it was big, but like if that shook the earth, the earth is humongous. The earth is the biggest thing in the world. Literally.
The earth is the biggest thing in the world.
Quote me on that. And, you know what I'm saying? It was big, but I don't think that was big enough to wipe out the whole earth.
But then again, it was releasing carbon in the air. Basically, I imagine it got colder because, sunlight can't get through. More ocean acidification, lava and all that. So, James, I think the one you're thinking of took place 66 million years ago. I think you're talking about the Cretaceous Paleogene mass extinction, an asteroid that killed the dinosaurs
and paved
the way for mammals, us. And it killed 60-70% of the life on Earth. It's kind of sad. Sometimes I kind of do feel bad for the dinosaurs. Yeah, they're stupid animals.
Well, they never existed, so.
Well, I haven't seen one. We only have their relatives. Like, for those who don't know, the living relatives of the dinosaurs are birds.
I'm on a mission to uncover the whole dinosaur industry. Some dude was just getting stoned in his basement and thought, hey, you know what? These bones that people are finding from, like, years ago, let's just all put them all together, put them in museums, and create dinosaurs.
And then, making the noises.
Sounded. Yeah.
Epic.
Well, how did this one sound? Oh, dinosaur racket.
Here's the thing. You look at some of the sizes of these animals, like a T-Rex.
Massive.
And honestly, it might be a little, insensitive to say, but I'm kind of glad that they got wiped out.
Insensitive to T-Rex.
Because imagine if you're walking down Washington Street and, you know what I'm saying, not even a T-Rex. What's a little tiny? A raptor?
Raptors
are you kidding me?
Way
a wild
agile,
raptor with the claws. Oh, my God. Like, we would stand no chance. So, hey, maybe it's a good thing that, you know, they kind of got out of the way and let us flourish.
Yeah, they got to let the mice and the beavers live and then eventually humans.
Have you ever pet a snake?
Yeah.
Those are as cool. Prehistoric as it gets, man.
Yeah.
They're weird looking.
Alligators. Reptiles, yeah. I feel like those are the ones that have survived since like maybe the third mass extinction.
They're the cockroaches of the dinosaurs, yeah. I think.
I was thinking about this when I was reading your years that these happened. And, you know, it's 86% of life, 75% of life, and then 96%.
Not 100.
There's a chance that some life from 440 million years ago is still here. And what is that adapted to? Is that just algae?
Yeah,
or could that be like...
Like jellyfish
ducks?
And tardigrades,
ducks.
And planktons.
I don't know. Could it be an animal? Like, could they have developed? Or is it more the smaller things, like the ecosystem?
Oh, I'd imagine the smaller things. Do you know how hilarious it would be if, like, they uncovered, like, a duck from, like, millions of years ago? It was one of the first
duck.
Animals.
You know what?
That'd be
There's only one animal I wish that didn't make it through. What? Swans.
Oh yeah, you were saying last week you were talking about
beef. I was at the park, the little pond over in Braintree, and there was ducks in the lake, but then there was these two swans, and we get to the little boardwalk and they start hissing at Scooby, and Scooby is pissed off. He's like, "I'm going to kill one of these swans," but on the flip side, they wanted to kill him. So me, Scooby, and Chris were standing our ground, and these vicious, nasty swans were hissing at my boy. And he was getting amped up, and they eventually skirted out. But, man, they were cruising for a bruising.
They didn't want that trouble.
Stop looking at me, swan.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't want that trouble. I was also looking at the percents you have on here, and I was thinking, like, so 60 or 70% of the Earth, 96%. What do humans make up? Humans only make up 0.01% of life on Earth.
Yeah, but we won.
No. We did win. Yeah,
is that true?
Epic. That's an underdog story.
Well, 1%
of the Earth. 0.01%. That means that 90% of the Earth, literally nothing's alive anymore. Nothing. If all humans disappeared, 99.99% of the population on Earth would still be alive.
Every single person was gone.
Well, I think I just watched a video on this last night.
That's intense.
That's insane. Yeah.
Even when's that statistic from? Because even now, like I said earlier, like millions of animals have died this past year, like 2020 with the wildfire. So I think that statistic might be a little skewed.
Well, you know what? I watched
Our
the video last night
data.
About ants. You know, ants.
Dog, don't get me started.
No, there's like ants. The ants have us outnumbered. That's
they don't
a, that's
even
a fact.
Know how many ants are in the world, and that's the scary part. They can't even quantify it. Because they start counting and they get up to the trillions and they're like, dude, this is only like a small area.
That's right. So luckily the ants aren't 6 feet tall. Then we most likely lose. We can't beat the ants. They wear their skeletons on their heads. Exoskeletons.
You shouldn't be worrying about ants. You should be worrying about robots taking over the world.
Yep.
That's a whole nother.
That's a good way to close it up, James. So we have courtesy of Vox.com. They actually did a list of the 10 ways that the Earth could end. I knocked out the 10th because the 10th one is like, it's a mystery. We don't know. All right, well, 9.
If they didn't mention the fact that if someone just shuts off the simulation, this is a simulation where it is the game, and someone decides to stop playing the game, off. No, nothing is real. How about that one?
Yeah, Jess's friend knocked Shlomo's Xbox over and then curtains.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's it.
That's an allusion to the last week's episode. So let's talk about what James brought up, artificial intelligence.
Yes.
AI. People are, honestly, in the tech community, AI is one of the most serious things that they are very much concerned about. Especially with, have you guys ever heard of something called the singularity?
Nope.
No.
So the singularity, it's a letter that's been like penned and signed by all the best tech minds of the world at the time, where they say the biggest threat from the tech world is the singularity from artificial intelligence. The singularity is basically where artificial intelligence matches and surpasses human intelligence. So right now, our AI is pretty smart, but we keep it, you know, at bay. We keep it, you know, arm's length away. But they're afraid one day it's going to become as smart as us.
It's going to teach itself.
Yep. That's how AI works right now. Then they're going to, like, get through all of our technology, and then they're going to surpass us, and they're going to use everything that we build against us.
I could see that happening, yo, low key.
That's crazy.
Like, have you guys ever seen The Matrix?
Epic. Yeah.
It's basically The Matrix. Specifically, there's a little side movie called The Animatrix, where it was a little history lesson on how The Matrix got built. And it's basically all these, they built a bunch of robots, like lower class robots, like built stuff. And the machines revolted. They're like, you know what? We're sick of being treated like second class citizens. We're going to overthrow humanity. And spoiler alert, they won. That's why we have The Matrix. And yeah, pretty bad. The capability of what machines can do. They could imagine if, like, AI just turned off all the computer chips.
Mm-hmm.
They just turned off, like, they turned off the internet.
We'd be fine. You know why? Because the human spirit is resilient.
Well, you mentioned human spirit, and it kind of reminds me of this episode of, what was it called? Black Mirror.
Yep.
This woman loses her boyfriend. He passes away, so she orders online, like, exact, like, AI and, like, life-size version of her boyfriend. But it's like downloaded all from, like, his social medias and, like, everything he's ever posted.
Yeah.
So, like, it kind of boils down to, like exact his exact likeness.
Oh. And it, so his mannerisms.
It will talk like him, act like him. It won't quite be him, because obviously it's a robot. Imagine if we get to that kind of, like, real-life technology. Because I'm sure there would be people that would be grieving so hard that would get that.
Yeah.
And then, like, just imagine if, like, you know, because it already is supposed to have, like, feelings. It's programmed to kind of have feelings. Those feelings could switch off, turn your back on you, maybe kill you. Like, you
backstabbing
know,
robots. You
never know.
I think it would be cool at some point in the future where, like, you could record your own voice and then have a robot speak to people. Like, and then obviously you'd have to figure out how to, like, get it to make sense. Like, if you're like, what's up, Shlomo, how's your day going? It just, like, goes off on a tangent about some other stuff. You have to figure out how to answer it.
Well, for us that do, like, podcasts and shows every day that have, like, so much, like, audio available,
mm-hmm.
like, someone could definitely make a robot version of you and have everything you've ever said and kind of work it to make, like, actual sentences.
Yeah.
And you could be long gone, but there'll still be something, like, that represents you. And
that's
still,
yo, that's kind of cool.
Hey, Shlomo Bot, how you doing? Yo, Scoop!
Shlomo Bot.
That'd be fire, bro. I think, honestly, as time goes on and, like, you know, our physical bodies, obviously, at some point, we're not gonna make it. But I think it would be cool to, like, have somewhat of your spirit, your legacy, like, live on through, like, a robot, a computer. You know what I mean? And, yeah, bro, that'd be sick.
I know where
that'd be kind of sick.
I know we're a bit off topic. I thought about that too. Like, you know, in Japan, they have these things called Vocaloids, where they hire actresses to pronounce every single possible enunciation of arrangements of letters and words and all that. And they use all that to turn it into music. It's crazy over there.
Really?
Yeah. I thought about doing that, like, when I become famous and when I die. Like, I will record, like, and they'll make words out of that. And then they'll be like, okay, folks, let's listen to the owner himself. Hi. I'm Antonio Wacquelli, and I've been dead for 50 years, but my legacy lives on through all of you.
I'm definitely going to do something like That's that epic. For, I'm trying to, like, it's kind of morbid, but I was trying to, like, explain to my Nana, like, she's going to be 90 years old. I'm like, yo, I want to do it personally, but, like, if you want to do it, have, like, a video recording. I don't know if you guys have ever watched The Office, where, Dwight Schrute's Aunt Shirley dies, and she plays a video and directly addresses the entire, like, funeral, where she's like, Dwight, you're an idiot. You know, like, she just chirps people. And I think it'd be funny to do, where it's like, you know, you have sort of your posthumous just message. And I know there's an Irish, it's a funny viral video of this Irish dude who had them, like, at the cemetery. You know, they're about to put the casket in the ground, and they play, like, an audio recording. It's like, hello, it's dark in here. Let me out of here. Fuck. Like, freaking out. And, you know, everyone around the whole funeral is dying laughing. Like, I want to do some funny stuff like that on my way out. I think that'd be cool.
I think that's how you got to do it.
So back to the topic at hand.
Yeah.
Way off topic. Back to the topic at hand. With artificial intelligence, I'm trying to think of, like, all the sinister things that artificial intelligence can do. theoretically, I don't want to give them any ideas, but theoretically they could make a set of like the Oval Office, and they could do like a deep fake of President Biden, and then they could Vocaloid yes. all of his voice and say, "Come on, man, we're gonna nuke North Carolina, Korea, man." And then they're going to send that through news bots over to North Korea. Like, oh, they're going to nuke us. We gotta nuke Taiwan and that. World War III. There
some
it is.
Scary stuff, yeah.
It that's could a, theoretically happen. I don't want to give
point
them
any with,
ideas.
All the face recognition technology and yeah.
It's getting crazy, actually. Like, the facial recognition stuff. It's saying here singularity could be reached by 2045.
Oh, good. You looked it up. Right? Crazy yeah. stuff, huh?
It's yeah, like, that's crazy. That's like tomorrow. I had never heard of it, and now I'm kind of like, why did I sign on to do this episode? I'm kind of like, 2045 is around the corner.
You know, we're not going to make it to the 30s.
It's 24 years. Right. Yeah, true.
But yeah, AI is one of the ways the world could end. Please, if you think your computer is getting a bit too smart, just unplug it. Like, don't turn it off. Unplug it. That'll
pour
really
some
mess
Dr. Pepper on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think that's honestly the best solution. That's just product. Like, we are going to destroy all of humanity, unplug.
And you know what could be playing a huge factor are all the things we have right now is our phones. You know, you hear the phrase, like, smartphones, dumb people. It's like, maybe this is like a big ploy to slowly end the world.
That's
through
why,
AI.
That's why I treat my Siri, with just so much respect. Like, if she yeah. doesn't, like, if I call for her and she doesn't respond, I go, you know, she's busy. I gave her the day off. I'll look at the Chinese restaurant myself, because I don't want to piss them off. Because you know, they'll come for me. They'll make an example of me.
Yeah. She pisses me off sometimes. I say, call James. I don't see James in your contacts, and she spells it like J-E-A-M-S, and I'm like, I didn't say that. I get so mad at her. But she is cool peoples.
So she's very helpful. So I had to look this up. So number B, so another one is solar geoengineering. Wow. Does anyone know what that is? Because I did not 24 hours ago.
I got you. Solar, which is like the solar system. Geo, which is the earth. And third part was what?
Engineering.
You're harnessing the power of solar, the sun, and the earth, and you're engineering it. That's my guess.
So solar engineering is a very broad concept, but specifically the one they're the most concerned about is, man, I forgot what it was called. It's basically, you know, take a drink every time Antonio says basically. Essentially, it's where they put these chemicals in the sky to block the heat of the sun from entering the atmosphere, thus cooling the earth. Now, they thought about doing that because it wouldn't stop. It would fend off the effects of climate change by having less sun come through. But what they're concerned about, from what my research has done, they're concerned about two things. If we do solar geoengineering, it's going to – what's the proper word? What?
Screw us.
Oh, no. Oh, I thought you had something.
The proper word.
No, Scooby started chewing on the chair, so I had to maneuver.
Well, you know, he was kicking me, and I let him. I'm not a pushover, girls. But anyway, with solar geoengineering, what it would enable – polluters, you know, people who like spew all that the gas into the air, to like, whoa, we got all these planes that stop climate change, so we can just keep polluting, and then something will screw up, and then it would cause the world to get much hotter. It's a very, very interesting and very long concept that you should probably research on your own, but it's a very interesting topic nonetheless. And something else that they've been talking about is if we do geoengineering, because we screw up the atmosphere and all that, it's going to screw up the rain. And if it, like, it could stop raining, it could rain more, and that's going to cause a whole thing. It could, like, change, it could theoretically change the temperatures of some parts of the world. Some parts of the world are going to get more sun. Some parts of the world are going to get less sun. Completely screw with the actual environment of the world. That's what some of my research has shown. I always advise to do your own research, but that's just what I've seen.
Essentially, you're talking about changing the weather.
Essentially, in one prospect, yes.
Which basically is what we're already doing now, man. You look into all kinds of kind of conspiracy theories, but I believe it. You know what I'm saying? Being able to like create rain.
They've actually been trying to do that. They've been trying to make it rain more in sub-Saharan Africa and other places like that. But I know the United Nations has made a like a big stance to say, like, you cannot change the weather. That is against UN policy. But so far it's been sticking, but obviously we got to look out for that.
Tell that to James down at the Foxy Lady. He's making it rain on Wednesdays and Fridays.
Look at him. Look at
no
him
comment.
Not, I was going to say, look at him not defending himself. He did it. So this is right up James's alley. So the third one is a super volcano.
Oh, yeah.
A volcano shows up. I think specifically everyone's really concerned about Yellowstone National Park because I think isn't there like a mega volcano somewhere there?
Yes, right underneath the park. It's going to erupt at some point.
It will eventually. But obviously what could happen is if a volcano were to go off, the lava would kill a lot of people and damage the environment. But all the sulfur and carbon that's going to go into the air, it's going to... I think this is what happened in the Philippines, like in like 1991, a big volcano erupted, and it changed the environment around them, and it like I forgot what it was. It either it rained more often, or like it got cooler. But there's
messed
so many,
around with it.
Yeah, it messed around with the environment because of all the chemicals that spewed into the air, and again, all the lava and the magma is gonna screw up some people.
The other thing that's good about magma and volcanoes erupting, at least from what I've been taught in school, is that it creates some more land. It creates new territories, new frontiers, right?
It's mainly rock, yeah.
A couple of rocks, you know what I'm saying? I think that's kind of cool. Depending on where it is, obviously, if it erupts in the middle of like Quincy Point, yeah, that's terrible. But if it's out in the middle of the ocean and new islands are formed, I think that'd be kind of cool.
We'd have to import all the soil, though.
I think it'll work itself
waters
out.
Waters would definitely flood if a volcano shot up.
You think so?
But it would put it out.
The water.
I like the idea of the cool islands. That would be
brand
epic.
Brand new islands, bro.
Claim it real quick.
Yeah, and think
World
about
War
like this.
III, here it comes.
We wouldn't have to import the soil because think about the islands that are already there. Give it some time.
Sand?
The sand will come in. The trees will grow. I think things will be great.
Man, we are really not taking these matters very seriously.
I'm optimistic, man. I think we'll get through it.
That one is tough because it's all about location. Like, if it is in the middle of the ocean, yeah, we could get screwed. But, like, you know, if it happens up in
Yellowstone.
Yeah, I almost said Antarctica. I don't know if there's any volcanoes up
there.
Oh,
I'm sure there could be.
Dormant ones. Sleeping volcanoes is what it is.
Sleeping volcanoes. Well, like, if one of them went off, I think it's all about location. Unless they all went off at the same time.
Well, Shlomo, I challenge you to make this positive.
Yes.
An asteroid. All right. We all know the horrible effects of an asteroid. It killed the dinosaurs, made way for mammals, and then it could kills us, makes way for the ants. You know.
Depends on the size, as it always does.
Pretty big.
If it was like the one, the crater that I saw in Arizona, it becomes a tourist location. Depending on, like Jake said, location. If it hits the middle of nowhere and nobody gets, you know, no one's harmed in the actual, you know, explosion of the asteroid, it becomes a tourist spot. But if, like I said, if it hits Quincy Point, yeah, we'd definitely be screwed.
Well, the thing is, I think I forgot what the percentage was. Most of the world is water. If a massive asteroid hits the ocean, tidal waves.
Oh, yeah.
Tsunamis.
The thing is, though,
Florida, see ya.
We would see it coming. We would see it coming, and I think we'd have enough time to prepare. Mm-hmm. And I think...
blast it down,
I think America would take care of it.
We could nuke it.
What, you mean Space Force?
Space Force.
Space Force would be on it, baby.
I would love to see that thing enter our gravity. Get absolutely destroyed.
I know. Yeah. I've seen no concrete plans, but then again, of course, they're probably classified.
Just send Bruce Willis, Ben Affleck up there.
They'll handle it.
And
they'll,
Ben Affleck?
Oh, yeah. He's in Armageddon.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, in your list of badass guys to send up to an asteroid, Bruce Willis, Ben Affleck.
That's all we need.
I'd obviously send up like Chuck Norris and all the, you know,
so
the guys you'd have to.
This next one hurts a little close to home. Mm. It's another global pandemic. Oof. So I imagine, you know, we're still dealing with the onslaught of COVID. Imagine if COVID was a bit more intense in it. Liquefied your lungs and the lethality, you know, fatality rate was up by like 20%. Yeah, not good.
No.
Imagine there was a new one. There's new COVID. There's like a bunch of new COVIDs all the time.
Well, prior to this pandemic, when I think of the word pandemic, I think of the Spanish one with the big, long, like beak-looking masks. Very terrifying.
That's the bubonic plague.
Yeah,
and
bubonic
the Spanish
plague.
Flu. Two different things.
Oh.
Well, Spanish flu was the one that we had before here. It started in Kansas. We're not calling it the Kansas flu. Come on. And the bubonic plague killed like Asia and Europe and all that. Well, you know, killed a lot of them.
That's what I think. But now I think of just masks, quarantining, and you know, what we got going on now.
When I was doing my research for today's discussion,
really,
getting stoned on my couch watching YouTube videos, Watch Mojo to be specific. They mentioned like, oh yeah, another pandemic could end. This is a couple of years ago. A pandemic could end the world, and they're like, yeah, I remember swine flu and Ebola, like that was so terrible. It's like, you guys don't even know what's coming next. You guys don't even know. And I thought it was so eerie. It's like, oh man, like, yeah, these things happen, and you can only try to hope and overcome them.
Adapt
and overcome.
You know, it's hard to overcome catastrophic climate change.
Oh,
you know,
that's tough volley to leap.
You know, I'm taking it back. I remember back in 2015, I was watching the Democratic debates with Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, Jim Webb, Martin O'Malley, and Lincoln Chafee and all that. And they were asking, what is the biggest national security concern? And my guy, Bernard Sanders, he said that it was climate change. And you know what? He was backed up by what the FBI and our intelligence agency says. So what has been occurring is because of climate change, a lot of folks say they're farmers. And they live off the land. Oh, but now the land isn't working because there's no rain or it's too hot. Where are they going to go? They're going to go to the city to find work. But they're bringing all their farm religious values with them. And that goes at odds with the people who live in the city. And then you got all these massacres and all that. Then you go, Syrian civil war.
Damn.
Climate change can do a lot. Just even itself, forget all that. What if all of a sudden, some miraculous way, all the hot places became cold and all the cold places became hot? What the hell would happen?
Here's the thing. As someone who lives in Boston and it's currently like 25 degrees out, and you're telling me in January it would be like 82 and sunny, you know, it's hard to say like that's terrible.
Yeah,
you know?
But then about July.
July.
It'd be cold.
Brick. So what ideal. I'm thinking is essentially flipping the seasons, but what if Boston became a spot just like San Diego, where it's like, you know, 70 degrees all year long.
That'd be tight.
See what I mean? That would be kind of tight.
It'd be kind of tight. So you don't want catastrophic climate change. You just want like balanced climate
subtle
change.
Climate change. Subtle. Well, then it's
key.
Like you can't just have that, because like let's say we go up by like 40 degrees. The places that are like San Diego with 78 degrees, like are they also going to go up by 40 degrees? Because then that's terrible. See what I'm saying?
Well, I can counteract that with, because of climate change, the glaciers melt, ocean levels rise. We've seen the maps of what could happen if the ocean were to rise like 1 or 2 feet. Florida, gone. This spot where we are right now, theoretically, gone. Where are those people going to go? They're going to go inward. They're going to bring their values into middle America. That's going to cause more problems. All the food and the industry and technology and all that. Climate change is a very serious thing.
I think it just comes down to, like, it's somewhat inevitable at this point, just, like, based on what we've done to this planet.
Sorry, kids.
But with that being said, it's not hopeless. Like, all right, if the sea rises a foot, right, we got to build bigger levees, bigger barriers on the shores, figure out a draining system. Like, there's challenges that we need to face head on.
Oh, we can't even fill the potholes, let alone build a giant seawall.
Yeah.
So another one that I've seen is biological and chemical warfare.
Ooh. That's got to be like one of the worst. That and the nuclear war is the worst.
Yeah. Can you imagine, you know, back in the day, I forgot who did this, but back in the day, you know, when they would have the walls around the city so the Mongols can't get in or whatever, they would build like a catapult or a trebuchet and throw dead bodies into the towns and cities because they're not going to get in. So they're going to kill them with disease. They would just throw in like rotting dead bodies. And then that's biological warfare. That was some of the first examples. Even in some, this one's a little gross, so, you know, cover up. Sometimes the folks who use bow and arrows, they would put excrement and feces on there. And then they would shoot the arrows, and then you get an arrow. Then you got all that nasty stuff inside of you.
That's awful. Diabolical.
Way to go, bro.
Yeah.
Oh.
And on top of that,
you get hit, and you're just like, oh, man.
It's literally insult on top of injury. That's where the definition of that came from.
Like, I think, like going back to the Civil War, American Civil War, most of the deaths were by disease.
Really?
Because they got, like, shot in the arm, and they didn't, like, have anything to clean it out
gangrene
with. And they just, yeah. And all the, in World War One, like, trench foot and all that.
I imagine also, like, bullets back then. Like, you ever see them stuff, like, a musket? They could put a pebble. They could put literally any sort of object in the barrel and just let it off.
Yeah, that's what they would do. Like, oh, like they would put, like rusty nails and glass. And they'd be like, ha-ha!
That's nasty.
That's
rusty
true.
Nails up close out of a smoothbore rifle would be, oof.
Killing you with disease. And then, again, you could create, like, a nerve gas and, like, drop it in the middle of Cincinnati or something. Or you could, like, go to, like, you know, just, like, that's why we banned all these gas weapons, the chemical biological warfare. Even, like, say you knock out, like, all, like, the food supply. Like, that's going to do something to them. That's pretty, I'm pretty sure that's illegal, but
should be if it's not. Damn.
Even then, that could cause some dangerous stuff. And of course, the granddaddy of them all, the nuclear war. If one goes off, it's the end of everything.
I was genuinely stressed out for 4 years that nuclear war was going to break out just strictly because of Trump just flexing.
Sorry.
And just around the world. I mean, like, it's a very real possibility. But I feel like for the most part, everybody's like, hey, we're not going to nuke each other. But we had some tense times the last 4 years. That
Is
was
it,
like,
what, one button away?
One button. Yeah.
One
button
phone
away.
Call, like, yo, to the, like, whoever the top general is, like, yo, send him.
He could literally just nuke it. And
I'm like, it's a bit more complex than that. But essentially, yeah, we were very, very close to coming to nuclear annihilation. And sometimes it's not even going to be our fault, America's fault. Like, there are tensions all around the world. India and Pakistan, they just can't get along.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they got nuclear weapons. North Korea has a nuclear weapon. They might want to flex and, like, impress China, and they go after Taiwan or South Korea. But again, as I said, if one goes up, 30 more are going to go up. All it takes is one, which is why I support nuclear dearmament. What about you, James?
You know what also just takes one? I don't know. I mean, I don't really have an opinion on war. I mean,
apple?
I think everything's already been said. But all it takes is one star in the solar system to explode near us, and we're done. And what's worse than that, than an asteroid, is we won't see that coming. It would just be snap, gone. All it takes is one.
I have that as, like, the ideal way, I feel. Like, if the sun just blows up, it's going to be... You ever see the movie Knowing?
No.
With Nick Cage. It's not worth it.
Nicky.
But one of his better ones, I guess.
Yeah. That's really saying something.
Yeah, I know. But basically, it's about 2012. Like, he uncovers the code, and it's like December 21st, 2012. It is going to end.
Oh,
and
God.
Then, spoiler, the world ends, but everybody just fries together. Like, essentially, it was like the sun just blew up. And I feel
That's
like that would be the best way to go. Everybody just dies together. Like, nobody's surviving the sun blowing up.
That's really one thing at the end of the world that's kind of comforting with, like, hey, we're all going to go.
Yeah, you don't get that one person like, I'm a beast, I survived. It's like, relax, buddy. You just got lucky on this one, like, or something. Like, that way everybody's dead.
Really, not even the people who are at night. They get it too.
Yep. Everybody.
Yeah, no one's safe.
Boy, it's getting real bright out here. Well, I think it's 8 minutes to the sun, technically. So, like, if the sun were to blow up, we wouldn't get that. Actually, no, that would probably hit us pretty quick.
Take 8 minutes?
That would be brutal. Just seeing the sun getting bigger and bigger, hotter and hotter, and then just dead.
You know, that brings up one guy who's in his basement changing, like, the, you know, doing the laundry, and he comes out, and everything's just gone. He's like, damn. What happened?
Everything got burnt.
Comes out of the john. He's like, what the hell?
Yeah. Awful.
I'd be pretty horrified when we finish today, we go out. Gone. All
mad,
gone.
It's mad dark out.
The studio, dude. We could leave the studio one day and everybody's gone.
Horrified. And that brings up a really good point, and it's our final point. If the world were to end today, what would be your preferred way to go, and what would be the worst way to go? So let's start with Shlomo.
If the world were be to end today,
what's the best way to go for you?
Oh man, probably off a cliff. If I
would... I'll just picture just the globe just like, slowly.
Yeah, I don't know. Just go flying off a cliff. Because the rush.
The Earth, I mean, or you?
Me.
Oh, no.
No, the world to end.
Oh. The best...
not die right now. You
that's
die
what you
right
said
now.
Off the cliff, and I was like, that's not any answer I would expect.
Sorry. Sorry. Scooby just literally bit my finger mad hard, so I'm a little distracted. But if the world were to end and my preferred method would be, I wouldn't say instantaneous, because you want some time to, you know, get your affairs in order. So something that would be a little spaced out. I think the tsunami thing would be relatively manageable, where it's like, all right, in 3 hours, the waves are going to start. Because even a tsunami, it's only like, it's not just one big wave, it's like a series of them, right? So that could be something. And it gives you time to plan it out, like, all right, maybe we got to get to high ground. Or maybe find a boat, steal a yacht or something.
The only thing you get with knowing your demise, with the world knowing their demise, is you're going to get a lot of people
calling you.
A lot of people breaking the law, and it's going to be absolute mayhem.
I would hate that.
And it'd just be
it's like the mall on Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
On Christmas.
Christmas, yeah.
So I don't know. I think you kind of want it to be instantaneous a little bit.
Shlomo, what's the worst way to go then if the world were to end?
The worst way? In a fire. Just burning up.
Oh, just like if I were to light this piece of paper and it just somehow caught the whole world.
I think a fire would be the worst, right?
Burning alive doesn't sound good.
Oh.
Nah. Because I feel like, you know, when you're drowning, after a while, like the brain like dies first and then you kind of like, you're happy. But when you burn alive, it hurts for a very long time. Like 5 seconds is gonna be like 5 hours. Like even if you touch like a little thing, like you're like, it hurts.
Yeah, that would definitely be the worst, bro.
Jake, what's the best way for the world to end for you?
Best way, I don't want fire, but I want the sun blowing up. That way, it's not like everything's burning; it's just everything vaporized. Just start fresh, entirely new galaxy. Worst way. Probably zombies would be tough, like especially if they're like the big ones. Like that would just be awful to see like your family and friends just trying to kill you and like just I just don't really fuck with zombies. I just don't. Mm-hmm. They've never really been my thing. So like if that was the way the world was ending, I'd just probably be like, this is probably just go off a cliff.
Like do you have the gumption of someone you love on the ground writhing in pain because they've been bitten in the neck and you have like a giant rock, like throw the rock on my head. Could you do it?
Kill
if they asked you?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's not that
absolutely
bad.
Because I would be like, nah, I'm not letting them turn into a zombie. I would definitely, it would be tough, but like that's why I don't want zombies, because I don't ever want to face that. Why would I have to just kill them when we can all die together?
That's nice.
that's what
cliff,
I'm all about.
Man, hop in the car. Well, I gotta show you.
We'll hijack a Rolls, go off the cliff in the Rolls.
That's the way.
That's the way.
You know, if I were to pick,
this is the way.
If I were to pick, if I'm being selfish and it's just about me, I would want an asteroid to hit me just right on
you.
There. I want to be where it hits, so I have no chance. And you know what? And there's going to be a bunch of them. I'm the first one, though, so the whole world has to end.
Question. Would the asteroid be, like, astronomically big, like the size of, like, a Target, or would it be the size of, like a Honda Civic? And
it's
just hit you directly.
It's comically large, and yet somehow I'm the only one that's attracted to it. Like, I'm just walking, like, oh, I got to go to the post office. And then, like, man, it just got really dark, and I look up. I'm like, oh, snap, it just lands right on me. Because, you know, it's got to be big enough to, like, end the world. So, like, school bus size would do some damage.
What if the velocity, like, it wasn't that, maybe the size of, like, a car, but the velocity, it was going so fast it went through the Earth.
Yeah, that bullet. It could happen.
You think it could go through the core? It would have to hit the right angle.
The mantle.
Of course it could. It could theoretically happen.
True. The right angle?
I don't want to give him a chance. And even like if someone's like, even if a comet's coming, I want to be that jokester that I am and just go like this. Put my arms up.
Try to catch it.
Try to stop it. Like,
is that your...
I don't want it to hit me.
Stop. Yes. I love that.
Plan B, black hole would be wonderful. That's the whole world just going to black hole, and everyone just stretches out like, whoa, and we're gone.
You get sucked. Would it be in? Like Interstellar, though?
I haven't finished it, so I don't know.
Interstellar didn't finish it?
No, I only studied black holes. I wasn't that good at it.
Oh, fair enough.
Worst way would probably be... worst way, I think, would probably be... Oh, nuclear annihilation. Yeah, that'd be pretty bad.
Yeah.
Because, one, that's a bad one. It'd be great. Again, if Russia were to bomb me, I hope it would land right on top of me. Oh, so I go instantly. But the people who would survive, like the 100 or so people, they're just going to get radiation poisoning and just like not even make it past a year.
Yeah, that's...
Rough and tough.
Truth dismal.
The Fallout games.
Finish strong, James. How do you want the world to end?
That's a tough question, man. Heavy stuff. Like, if maybe it's like every taco factory could explode at the same time and we just like all drown in tacos or something like that.
Hell yeah.
No, I don't know. Something somewhat.
I was all in on that.
Something somewhat. I think.
Pre-made tacos?
Maybe. But maybe give me something ironic to end the human race. Like, I think robots. I think taking over would be pretty cool. I like that. Good on the robots. You know, they've been very loyal and good to us, and I like them to take over.
You want them to inherit the Earth?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? They'll probably save the Earth, too.
Robots or monkeys?
Robot monkeys.
Oh, we didn't even talk about Planet of the Apes.
Oh, man.
But
they can have it.
Worst way...
they can have it.
Worst way for the world to end, I think I go, anarchy. I think, if it was just announced that, like, money, all currency is now useless, and, like, the world's, like, the things that, like, we need are slowly draining. I think that would be the worst, because, like, you get a slow build. You probably get the worst out of people. It would be a slow demise, which I think would be bad.
Well, there you go. And we don't have a fun question. We more so have, and that's apocalypse for you, everybody. Have a nice night. So we have not much of a fun question, but we have kind of like a fun challenge. So let me give you a little... this is actually inspired by John Oliver, who had an interview with Herman Cain, who died of COVID. And it's more so of a challenge, but listen, you guys are the president of the United States, and an apocalyptic event has ravished the planet. You want to be a leader and remain in the Oval Office and address the nation one final time before your imminent demise. What do you say to them, and how do you inspire them in this grave time? Now, I actually have four cards. I have card number one, card cube, card star, and card A. And we're all going to take a crack at it. Everyone gets a minute. So let's start with James. What card do you want?
Give me the cube.
You want the cube?
Yep.
All right, James. You have 1 minute to say goodbye to America as they go through a nuclear war. Your time starts now.
Listen, America, we're toast, all right? Say goodbye, sayonara, it's over. We're going to get nuked. We're going to get bombed. And you know what? It's not my fault, all right? You elected me to make this country better, and I did that, all right? I had no such involvement in nuclear wars. I'm all about love. Ladies know that. Go ask anyone. They all know that I bring the heat. And it's not my intentions to bomb, but we gotta defend ourselves. So I'm gonna bomb back. You come at me, I come at you 20 million times harder, motherfuckers. We're going out guns blazing. Because the thing is, America, we've always done what's best for us.
10 seconds, Mr. President.
I leave you with this. Kiss your mother. Kiss your father. Drink a beer. Improv.
What a way to go.
Yep.
What a way. I just imagine just President Askins, we're fucked. We're screwed. But
I think keeping it real with your people is good. You can't sugarcoat the end of the world.
Yeah. All right. We have to... Resurrect? Oh, not yet. So, Jake, what's your last name?
Liberty.
Jake, President Liberty. Wow. Awesome.
That sounds good. That sounds good.
President Liberty, do you want one A or star?
Give me a star.
All right. Oh, you have to deal with Zombie apocalypse.
Oh, what?
Zombies have raided the White House, and you only have a minute to address the American people. Your time starts now.
Ron, get the fuck out. We're screwed. They're in the White House. I'm trying to be a leader. I cannot save you right now. I just had to kill family members that become zombies. I do want to cry right now, but I can't because I have to be here for all of you guys. And yet at the same time, there's zombies banging on the door. So what I need for all of you is to take a long, hard look at yourselves and say, hey, what am I made of here? Am I better than the zombie? You're absolutely fucking not. They've taken over. You might as well just kill yourself. The Rolls Royce is leaving soon. I got Shlomo waiting out back there. So we're about to hit the cliff. I don't know if you want to join, but if you don't, you're screwed either way. However, it's been an honor to hold this position. Thank you for everything you've allowed me to do, all the fur coats and the sheep that I've gotten to chill with. So overall, it's been a pretty productive time. So stay healthy, stay positive, have a day, go fish.
And they come in.
Zombie.
We have now resurrected President Shlomo. President Shlomo Bo, do you want card number one or card A?
Number one, baby. Numero uno.
All right, President Shlomo, you have to deal, get America through an alien invasion.
All right.
You have 1 minute to announce, to just help the nation. Go.
My fellow Americans and the greater world who is listening to this message, listen. Times are tough. I know the economy is doing great, could be doing better, but here's the thing. Forget about all that. Forget about what's going on Facebook, because I have just received word that aliens are on their way. All right? I got the tip off, and you know how it is. I got guns ready blazing, but my whole team is telling me that, Mr. President, there's no chance in hell that we're going to beat them. But you know what? I believe in you, and I believe in us. And I think we can do it. All you got to do is call me at 1-800. We're screwed. All right? And I'll answer the phone. I'm going to answer as many calls as I can before I get to my ship. I'm actually heading out. You're in capable hands. I got my Vice President, Tony Wacquawelli, going to take the reins. So stay blessed. It's been fun. But, you know, time's up.
They've broken in.
Take the president.
But time's up.
And then I slide out the back door.
I just imagine just jumping through, like, the windows behind the oval, behind the desk.
Repelling through the window, yep. Yeah.
And President Acquawelli has machine uprising, artificial intelligence. So I'll give myself, my fellow Americans, I speak to you at the gravest time at the story of humanity, where what we've built has seeked to destroy ourselves. We as a nation have always been divided, but we as a species are united by one simple goal and one simple pleasure. It is the pleasure of humanity, and what unites us isn't just our creed. It is our blood, our brains, and our heart, something that our enemy will never have, and they never will. Because I inspire all Americans, black and white, skinny and fat, man and woman, peaceful and violent, to rise up, protect your homeland, protect your loved ones. For God has given us a challenge. We shall proceed. We shall win. For machines think that they know everything. But what they lack is what makes us special. We are human. We are humanity. Humanity, as always, will prevail. And God bless you.
Beautiful.
I just came up with that.
Movie rights. Movie rights.
And then the robots break down, in and they rip down. And they rip apart your president. And that's Apocalypse, everybody. Good job.
Yes, sir.
So before we go today, that was fun. And before we go today, let's do, of course, our recommendations. I know we always have some good recommendations that we always love to give out. So anybody, feel free to hop in before we head out.
General recommendations. I'm always going to send out some good movies. I say either The Gentleman or Lucky Number 11. Those are two of my personal favorites. The Gentleman, a bit more recent. Lucky Number 11 is on the low, but definitely see that one. Has great cast in it. It's a mystery movie. Case of Mistaken Identity. Lucy Liu's in it. Definitely check it out.
I recommend two things very quickly. The first one, very quickly. I just found out that there are programs, If you're using the treadmill, if there's an incline function, feel free to use it. Because on the treadmill that I have, I've started using the fat burner workout routine, and it goes up and down with the incline and all that, changes speeds. Going pretty good so far. I've been trying to shed those pounds off, and it looks like we're heading in a positive direction.
Love to hear it.
And so I want to recommend a book that I read around Christmas. It's called Blankets by Craig Thompson. It's a comic book. And it's one of the best things I've read. It's probably the best thing I've read all in 2020. It's about Craig Thompson. It's his life story of his teenage years and his first love. He's an evangelical Mexican who lives in the Midwest, and he has a crisis of faith because he loves this girl so much. And it's a story about family. It's a story about love. It's a story about faith. It's a story about the self. And I completely recommend Blankets by Craig Thompson wherever books are available. And it really, really hits me. Good. Give it a read. Fantastic.
I would like to suggest you to tune in to the Mass Music Morning Show every morning, 10 a.m. at massmusicradio.com. Also, the Steel and Nas Sports Podcast. Also, too, keep it short and sweet, a book, Can't Hurt Me, David Goggins. One of the best books I've ever read.
I love that. I want to recommend a TV show. So recently, I got a smart TV, right?
It's cool, huh?
So I'm on YouTube, right? I'm searching around, and I stumble across Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmare.
Yeah. And America, let me tell you, US or UK?
This is in America.
Okay, yep.
And let me tell you, that show, you want to talk about entertainment, it is the best. And you know what? It kind of switched my whole mindset. Like when I get in the kitchen or I get to a restaurant, I'm such a critic now. I'm looking at the food. Was this frozen? What kind of ingredients? I'm super analytical. And man, it's such a funny show, the way he just flames people and he comes in and just saves the day. These terrible failing restaurants. He wipes the table. He's like, this is filthy. You're going to serve food on this? This is a disgrace to food establishment, right? It's so funny. Super entertaining. The value is there. So I recommend Kitchen Nightmares. But like James said, I'll bring it back home. The Mass Music Morning Show is always a good time. I'd like to also recommend I mentioned earlier on this show, Across the Pond podcast, featuring myself and the bloke, Afion. And one last suggestion here is the Mass Music Shop, where you can get some merch. You can get some face masks. You can get some beanies. We got some hoodies and all kinds of good things. I don't want to spoil it because we got all kinds of new things coming in.
Just for you.
All drip. But yes, thank you so much for your support. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate y'all.
And of course, if you loved this episode of MMR Talks, feel free to listen to last week's episode, which is about video games, and feel free to binge season one of MMR Talks wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And yeah, that's pretty... Oh, Shlomo's got something.
I got a quick shout out to one of our loyal listeners. I don't know if I'm butchering her name. Shimalims from Toronto has been reaching out to us. Loves the podcast, loves the homies.
Wait, which one?
All of them.
Oh, cool.
She found MMR Talks and then started diving into the morning show. And shout out to her. She's killing it up in Toronto. So I just want to give her a quick shout out.
Toronto. Yes, GTA, sir. Greater Toronto Area.
Is that what it stands for?
Well, GTA, Grand Theft Auto, but yeah. Over there, GTA is Greater Toronto Area. That's what our Canadian teacher said. Miss Murray, Marine Bio.
Hell yeah.
It's so funny. She goes, the only GTA I know is the Greater Toronto Area.
Cornball.
Classic. Thank you, James and Jake and Shlomo and Scoob, for joining us today on a wonderful grim panel. Again, good luck trying to sleep tonight. And if you enjoy, feel free to tune in next week and tune in to every past episode. This is Antonio Wacquawelli, MMR Talks, and we'll see you next time.
Jay Ash got the hookup.